Hello?
Sir, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, sir.
Can you state your full name and ADC number for the record?
Michael Roman Munguia, 255-846.
Thank you, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
You are appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision.
Yes.
This hearing is about the two alleged violations listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you this hearing at least 5 days ago. Did you sign that form, sir?
Yes, I did.
Thank you. That form listed your hearing rights. One of these rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Hearing your attorney with you, or are you representing yourself today, sir?
It's me.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. In the hearing room today, we have the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson, the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, the Honorable Mr. David Neal.
Mr. David Neal, how you doing?
Our board chairman, Dr. C.T. Wright.
Dr. Stevie Wright.
C.T. Wright.
Oh, C.T. Wright, how you doing? Hello.
And my name is Luis Quinones. I'll be serving as the panel lead for your hearing.
All right, Luis, thank you.
Thank you.
Good to meet you guys.
Also present in the room is our community corrections officer, Mr. Grady, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer.
Okay, how you doing, Mr. Grady?
Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So Mr. Munguia and Mr. Grady, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Munguia, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if your supervision should be continued or revoked.
All right.
When I read the allegations to you, you need to respond whether they are true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we can talk about it. The board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you?
Yes, very, very clearly.
Thank you.
Would there be a, is there anything that I would be able to say, or do
I'll explain that in a second.
Oh, okay.
But how this is going to work is the hearing is done in two phases. The board makes a separate motion to vote on whether to pass the hearing from phase one to phase two, and during phase two, you'll have the opportunity to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir?
Oh, okay, thank you.
Okay. Now, I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in the criminal ways your company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number seven, as demonstrated by your self-admission of the use of methamphetamine on or about August 17, 2018. Mr. Munguia, is this true or false?
That's true.
Thank you. And allegation number two, violation of condition number two, as demonstrated by your failure to follow the directives of your assigned parole officer by failing to report him for a face-to-face contact visit on or about October 31st, 2018, as directed in writing on October 30th, 2018, you are actively avoiding supervision. Mr. Munguia, is this true or false?
Yes, it is also true.
Okay. Now, you asked if you could speak to the board, and what I need to do first is to make a motion amongst the board to pass this hearing from phase one to phase two. So, based on Mr. Munguia's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and that he may have or have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Seconded by the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, agreed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, and the Honorable Mr. Neal. Okay, Mr. Munguia, we're going to pass to the second phase of the hearing.
Okay.
And it is during this phase that the board will determine whether or not your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Grady, our in-house community corrections officer, is going to give us additional background information about your case. If you'll just stay on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly for questions, and you will be able to speak to the board in detail. Okay, sir?
Okay.
Thank you very much. Mr. Grady, if you will.
Victim Melquia was released from jail on March 14th of 2018. He was arrested on December 31st of 2018 by Phoenix PD. He has no new charges. He was returned back to the DOC on December 31st, 2018. He has a CSED March 14th of 2019 that reflects 61 Toscan Day. Current conviction, 2011, theft of means of transportation, 7 years. 2011, aggravated DUI, 1 year. Prior convictions, 2010, burglary, third degree, 1 year. He has 2 terms of DOC, his CEUIR scores of 4.4, mental health scores of 2, substance abuse scores of 3. Game information, affiliated with the Phoenix Heroes of Phoenix. Prior term of supervision, 2011, the offender was released as an absolute discharge. Disciplinary violations are moderate with drugs and violence noted. Other arrests, 1999, criminal damage, Arizona juvenile probation. 2005, burglary, second degree, Arizona juvenile probation. 2005, aggravated DUI, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation. Community risk score of the G5B6.
Thank you, Mr. Grady. Back to you, Mr. Munguia. I am going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Corrections with an approved residence at 7029 West Lower Buckeye Road in Phoenix. You were missing from community supervision for 61 days, so did you live someplace else after that, sir?
Mainly just anywhere I had went to a homeless shelter. At the time, you know, I was just, I was sleeping, you know, at a park or at any friend's house that would let me stay the night, just to rest my head wherever I could at the time, yeah.
Okay, sir. We have some employment notes that you reported employment at Mavetta Component Systems in Phoenix. And then later in July 2018 at Spelman Hardwoods?
Yes.
Did you work anyplace else?
I had several different jobs. I was working at SNA Recycling. That's on 35th Avenue, south of Lower Buckeye. Mm-hmm. I worked at this place called, we had to deal with a lot of paper. I forget the actual name of it, but the same agency that gave me the job at Spelman is the same agency that referred me to that other place, and I kind of forget the name of it at the moment. I worked as a forklift driver at this pallet place, and then after that, you know, I would just I had kind of picked up a little bit of landscaping because at the time that was pretty much when everything, you know, I got scared and I just didn't really want to face the music yet, you know, kind of scared to come back, and I really just was trying to work and just stay out of trouble.
Okay, sir. We have some programming notes that you were referred to CHC for substance abuse and anger management. You did not attend group on July 31st, 2018. I guess you missed 3 classes and exceeded the number of allowed absences.
Yeah.
You had a positive UA for alcohol. Then in sanction notes, August 2018, you reported to the WRPO, staffed by Senior Parole Officer Manner. You supplemented to using methamphetamine on August 13th. You were sanctioned to MRC for 3 days and referred to the ITH for 90 days. On September 7, 2018, you successfully completed MEP and were discharged from MRC. So was that program good for you, sir?
The program was outstanding, if I could be honest. You know, at first I was going in it and I didn't really have an open mind. And I didn't do the 90-day program. I got referred to the 90-day program. And upon going into the 90-day program, my probation officer had changed her mind. And she gave me the 21-day program instead. And, substance abuse counseling was like one of the main things that at the time I didn't think that I needed. But that was, you know, the the main theme that kind of got me going. And after that, I just, with everything that I was going through in the corrections, I knew that I had violated, you know, and I really wanted to go back. So but before I could turn myself in and, you know, trying to request if I can go back into the program and do the 90 days, I didn't get a chance.
Well, sir, I think you sort of explained it, but why exactly did you break off contact with your parole officer and disappear for 61 days?
All right. If I could get a little personal, my aunt, she had passed away, and that was the day I came up dirty. I went and I dropped a UA, and it was for alcohol. That was the day I lost my aunt, and after that it was just my parole officer, she pretty much, she made it very, very clear to me that if I messed up again, that I'm gonna go back to DOC. And I struggled hard. My girlfriend at the time, you know, she's my high school sweetheart, you know, love of my life. I don't know if any of you have ever, you know, like truly been in love before or not, but it really, really hurts. And, you know, love can do more damage than any drug can ever do to somebody. And at the time, you know, I just got done doing 7 years, and everything that I was expecting to get out to, it really just didn't play out in my favor. And, you know, I was so mind strong when I was getting out there. You know, I hit the ground, and I was just like, I was so happy, and I was determined to do the right thing. But everything that I prepared myself for was I didn't prepare myself for was losing my girl, and you know, that aspect of my life not going the way I kind of foreseen it. I kind of had, like, you know, a romantic, you know, fairy tale ending in my head planned out that really just didn't take place, and it broke me down. And the only way that I could cope with that was to, you know, kind of drown my pain and sorrows with drugs. That was why I stopped reporting to my parole officer, because
okay.
I knew that I was
pretty.
Yes.
I do need to ask you a few questions. Did you have ongoing problems with methamphetamine? Did you use methamphetamine before prison or inside prison? Was it a problem for you when you came out?
It was. It's been a problem for me since I was young, and I thought that I had conquered it. You know, because when I stopped using I'm gonna give or take maybe 2-3 years. Before I got out, I was smoking no cigarettes. No, I quit doing everything. The day my dad died, the chaplain called me into his office. It was on the 25th of October 2014, and ever since then I was sober until I got out. And
let me ask you this: you were obviously violated and put back inside DOC. Have you been able to stay clean since then?
Yeah.
How long have you been clean?
Since a week before I got arrested.
So how long is that now?
Going on at least a month and a half.
And do you feel strong?
Yeah.
Okay, I hope that's a motivator. And I think there's a lesson here about managing your expectations. I heard you talk about coming out with a strong mind, and things did not quite turn out the way you thought. And I think that's the lesson in and of itself, is to manage those expectations, because I think that's something we all go through. And it's a lesson. I hope it's something that you learn from. So you panicked and broke off contact with your parole officer?
Yeah. Just the fear of everything that I had gone through when I was incarcerated previously. I was a little frightened, you know, for my life, and I didn't really want to come back and face the music, knowing that I messed up and knowing one day that I would have to. I wasn't mentally ready for it.
Okay, and what caused the Phoenix Police Department to make contact with you when you were arrested on your absconder warrant?
I was walking down the street, and the police officer just rolled by me, and then he turned around and called me to him, you know, and he told me to sit down, that I fit the description of somebody that just committed a crime in the area. And upon searching me, you know, he found my wallet and searched my name, and then they took me in.
Okay, so I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. I don't have any questions from fellow board members. Mr. Munguia, we're getting very close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement that you would like to make to the board before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat anything that you've already told us, that you've told us quite a bit, that this is your hearing. So is there anything else that you feel is important for us to know or understand? And I'll ask you to be direct because we do need to manage time. Thank you.
Okay, yeah, if you will please take it into consideration that I understand, you know, and I'm not trying to hide or deny any of my any of the accusations that are I'm getting accused of, because I am guilty. I hope that you will find it in my favor to please allow me to give it another try and prove to everybody, including myself, that I can do what I know I can, you know, and that's get out there and be a man. It took me a while to grow up, and knowing my situations now, I pretty much know how to manage it, you know, and stay real humble about everything, and just realize how good life really was before I came back into prison, and just having my heart pound every minute is not a really good feeling.
Well, again,
if there's any programs, you know, that you guys would be able to maybe think of that it helped me on my substance abuse would be outstanding as well.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Munguia, and please do know that the board does not have the authority to place you in particular programs. That's that's in the purview of your parole officer, but the board will be going into discussion now. It may sound like that we're speaking with you directly, especially because we're on the telephone, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself under the open meeting laws of Arizona? So just stay on the phone, and we'll come back to you shortly with our decision, okay, sir?
Okay.
Thank you. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, this is an unfortunate case. I do like how pleasant Mr. Munguia is. He has a humble attitude, and I think he's speaking to us with a humble heart. It sounds like at play here is some ongoing issues with drugs, which we see quite a bit. But it is very hard to look past absconding from supervision for 61 days. And again, this is unfortunate, because if he had just stayed on board with his PO, he'd either still be out in the street, or he might even be done with his community supervision at this point. But at the end of the day, I believe that absconding, especially for a long period of time, just violates the spirit of community supervision and why we want to monitor people's transition back into the community. So I'm not finding him a suitable candidate for return. I am glad to say that regardless of how we vote, he doesn't have much time left in the prison system, and that's where I'll begin the discussion. Hearing no further discussion, I'm going to make a motion, and that is based on the information provided to this board in warrant number 2018-W3400, our discussion with Mr. Munguia, as well as information provided by the Department of Corrections. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Munguia was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed, or was about to lapse in a criminal leisure company, inasmuch that he relapsed into substance abuse, and absconded for 61 days in which we could not monitor his behavior in the community, and that is my motion.
Second.
Seconded by the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, agreed upon by the Honorable Dr. Wright, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, and the Honorable Mr. Neal. Mr. Munguia, we take no pleasure in this, Because we certainly want to see people succeed in the community, and we do appreciate how pleasant you've been. But your supervision has been revoked.
Yeah.
You will be released on or about May 14, 2019, which is just a bit more than 3 months. It may sound like a long time, but it's just a matter of weeks. And in my opinion, you might be better off coming out without without community supervision so that you can just pursue your own interests. You proved that you can be productive. You had several jobs, which I commend you for. It sounds like you have skills. I think that you can just finish your time, come out free and clear, and put this whole chapter behind you. But we certainly encourage you, through whatever resources you choose, to deal with any substance abuse issues. We certainly don't want to see you before this board again, and we hope that you're successful out there. This hearing is concluded. No further discussion may take place. And Mr. McGee, thank you for appearing before this board today by telephone.
Yeah, all right.
Thank you, sir. If you could put your CO3 on, we'd sure appreciate it.
All right. God bless. You guys have a good day.
Take care.